The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Sherwood, and I appreciate you. You know, it's different when your wife is away. Of course, I know the other part of me traveling, and there was a couple of times. I remember I was doing a conference preaching in the Northeast, and my wife was in California, and so it was during the wintry months, and I called her, and she was saying, oh, it's beautiful down here, and the sun is shining, and it's so warm, and I was up there freezing to death. And but this time I'm home, and my wife is visiting our daughter Rebecca on Tuesday. She'll turn 23, and so she is there with one of our neighbor friends that loves our family, went with her, and so you pray for them as they travel. I know that they would appreciate that so very, very much. If you know Rebecca and you're a friend, if you don't mind sending her a text and wishing her a happy birthday on Tuesday, that would mean a lot to her and would mean a lot to me. And so I want to do something a little bit different if I can do this. And so I'll get these four gentlemen right here on this row to help. And how about you three older gentlemen over here to help? Dr. Bachman, if you'll help, please. And I like to pass these little cards out, if you will. And I like for you to get one if you're a teenager or above that age. Once they get it passed out, I'll tell you what to do with it. And so just kind of hold on to it, if you will. And so a teenager or older, if you would get that, please. And while they're doing that, let's go back into our Bibles and look at Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 4, verse 30, 31, 32, where the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And I want to speak tonight on the destruction and deliverance from bitterness. The destruction and deliverance from bitterness. Now, here's what I like you to do with that little card. You might already know somebody. I don't know if perhaps in your heart you are holding bitterness towards a person. I don't know. Or maybe sometime in the lieu of the message, God will bring somebody to your mind that you're bitter towards. I don't want you to write their full name out. I don't think that would be good because you might have a nosy neighbor. But what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to maybe just write out their initials. Many people have the same initials, so that won't identify necessarily who they are. And then, during the invitation time, I think it would be a good thing to bring that up here, tear it up, leave it at the altar, and leave it there forever, never to pick it up again. It is very good for the Christian from time to time to get thoroughly right by forgiving others inside of their heart. Bitterness is something that's like a cancer. It would tear you up, continue to tear you up, and eventually destroy your mind, destroy your heart, destroy things that ought never to be there. And unless you take care of it, bitterness grows, as you'll see in lieu of the message. And so unless you take care of it, I promise you one thing, according to the Bible, it will destroy you. But it don't just destroy you, it'll destroy those around you because you infect them and you hurt them by your very words. So as we look at it tonight, you can write initials out. You can do it now. I don't really care. It might be that it's just as plain as the nose on your face as to who you have bitterness against. It might be tonight that in lieu of the message, I believe this, that no believer has a right to be bitter towards another person. I believe that you as an individual are required by God, expected by God, not to be bitter towards someone. Now, in order for you not to be bitter, you have to release that bitterness. I'm going to tell you this, if you don't release the bitterness, it will always have a grip on you. So what I'm going to do tonight, it's not going to be a Bible study per se, but I'm going to give you everything that the Bible teaches about the subject matter of bitterness. Statement number one, the contamination of bitterness. The contamination of bitterness. Here's what the Bible teaches. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, God says you're supposed to follow after peace with all men. And if not, you're not going to see the Lord. Well, okay, you won't see the Lord answering your prayer. You won't see the Lord moving in your heart. You won't see the Lord giving you victory. You won't see the Lord doing miraculous things inside of your life if you're harboring bitterness towards someone. Hebrews chapter 12 describes bitterness and the evil of it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springing up, listen to it now, trouble you. So bitterness is a trouble to you, but don't stop there. Whereby, it says, and whereby many be defiled. Now, when the Bible talks in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, follow peace. Well, that word follow means this. It means that you're in eager pursuit. Eager pursuit of what? God says peace. That means you run swiftly after. You run swiftly after what? Peace. You try to catch it. You try to catch what? Peace. But then God says, as the continuation of the scriptures, as you read in verse 15, you could never have peace as long as there's a root. A root. Might not be a big root. We used to pull weeds out of the garden. Winter weeds that had grown up. We didn't just till them under. We pulled them out. And as we'd pull them out, they had small roots. But they were still roots. And as long as the root is embedded, it's always going to produce that which is the extension of the root. And so there is the contamination of bitterness. Bitterness is not something that you ought to look at and say, well, I'll tell you what, I got it, but it's okay. I don't feel bad all the time, therefore, I'm okay. Sometimes a person will look at bitterness and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just get along with it the rest of the days of my life. Look, if there's a cure for cancer, I would not want to put up with it the rest of the days of my life. I like to get it cured and over with. If there's a cure for being unhealthy, then I like to be able to find out what that is and take care of it so that I can have health the rest of the days of my life. Statement number one, there's the contamination of bitterness. Statement number two, there's the cause of bitterness. What is that? Well, that's a willful ignorance of what God wants you to do with bitterness. Over in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 20, Ruth 1:20, the Bible says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi. She says, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. Here was a lady that lived outside of the will of God. And doing so, here's what took place. As she came back, she told all of her friends, hey, don't call me Naomi. Don't do that. Call me that which is Mara. The word Mara means bitter. So here was a lady that knew that she was bitter. And by the way, you could see that she was bitter. It was written all over her face. This ignorance, if you would please, is a failure to accept, if you will, the mailman who delivers the message. Sometimes the pastor gets up and he'll preach a loving message. Sometimes he'll get up and he'll preach that was is an instructional message. Sometimes, and the one you don't like to hear, is when the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches a rebuking message because you sit there, especially if you're a person of pride, and say, that's none of his business. Hudson Taylor said this. He said how the tendency to resentment and wrong feelings would be removed could we take the injury that we face to our heavenly loving Father, instead looking chiefly at the agent through which that hurt comes. It's a matter, if you would please, of listening to the postman. He, if you will, that did not write the Bible, but has a mandate from God to teach and preach the Bible. You know, God, I believe this, is the one that can handle all bitterness. Most of the time, a person puts a face on bitterness. I've heard very few people, though I've heard some, that say, I am bitter towards God. I've heard very few, though I've heard some. Most often, more than not, I hear people say, I'm bitter towards, and they can name the person. I'm bitter towards, or they can name the person that was involved in the event. And bitterness, I find out more than not, is always most commonly attached to a person. All right? So we understand this. We understand that ignorance sometimes is willfully ignoring that you have a problem with bitterness. Sometimes it's refusing to release the offender. And so you just have that person in your heart over and over and over again. Ahithophel was that way. Ahithophel was one of David's counselors, if you will. Later on, you'll find out in 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 3, going to 2 Samuel chapter 17, and concluding in verse 2, that you find out that Ahithophel was very bitter towards David because of what David, if you will, allowed to happened to his granddaughter, and because of that, he was consumed with bitterness. Now, I want to tell you, the problem was this, that it destroyed his life. Now, most of the time, a person, even though you might be bitter towards somebody else, many times that person don't understand that you're bitter towards them. They don't live with you. They don't walk with you. They don't talk with you. They don't abide with you. They're not spending time with you. All they know is every time they get around you, you don't treat them nice. They can't read any more than that because they're not God. But most of the time, if a person will take and ask God to help them with that which is the bitterness, you'll find out that God is the one that can help you with the bitterness more than you can help yourself with the bitterness. There was two men, they were walking along, they were heading down the countryside. They came to a place where there was a bridge. The bridge was out. There was a woman sitting on the side, and they said, these two men, giving that which is their gentlemanness towards the lady, said, why are you sitting here? We're getting ready to cross the water. Why are you sitting here? She said, I can't cross the water by myself. I need somebody to help me across. I'm afraid I'll drown. Both the men extended their hand of blessing. They made sort of like a chair. They carried her across the river. As they carried her across the river, they set her down on the other side. She said, thank you, went her merry way. A couple of miles down the road, one man said this, my back hurts. I can't believe that we picked up that woman. Didn't you see how filthy her clothes were? Her filthiness has rubbed off on my suit. It bothers me that she just left with a smile. I don't think she was really grateful. They went a couple more miles, and that man began to gripe again. He said, I don't know about you, but my back sure does hurt. He said, every time I move a wrong direction, I think I pulled my back out of place. It's all because of that woman. If we hadn't helped that woman across the river, it would be okay, but I'm in pain because of that woman. The first man said, I'm sorry. The second man that was griping looked at the first man and said, well, doesn't your back hurt? My back hurts. I can't believe we did that. I can't believe we extended her blessing. The man said, no. He said, my back stopped hurting 5 miles ago. You're still carrying the woman. Can I tell you, when you face bitterness in your life, You can decide to put it down right then and there and live like everything's okay. Or you can decide you're just going to keep carrying it in your mind over and over and over again. Every time you see that person, they bother you. Every time they're walking down the hallway, you want to avoid them. Every time they shoot you a text or they smile at you, you want to look the other way. You've got to be careful tonight, my dear beloved friend, because bitterness will destroy you from within. Well, he hurt me. She hurt me. They said this. They said that. That activity was against me, and I take it personal. That's the problem. If you just keep taking it personal, it will eat you up. Some of you young people, it's here at Bible college. You ought to learn to forgive your parents. Some of you young people that sit under the pitch of my voice tonight, you're bitter towards your mom, you're bitter towards your dad, you're bitter towards those around you. They're just trying to help you. They love you. They're for you. They're on your side. But because there was one day in your life where all of a sudden they did not live up to your expectations, that you decided you'd be bitter against them. I know church members that are bitter. When I pastored in Tennessee, there was people bitter, one against the other, in my small town rural church. We had one exit door that was commonly used out that which was the rear of the auditorium, just like back here, one exit door. When I first became pastor there, there were some people that were set. We had pews, one set of pews down this way, very long. Another set of pews down this way, very long, and that was predominantly it. I had people that would sit on this side of the auditorium, and they would wait till people would get out the door from that side of the auditorium because they did not want to get around them. Now, if you feel that way in your heart, can I tell you, you're wrestling with bitterness. If you don't want to be around your husband, you don't want to be around your wife, they annoy you, you are wrestling with bitterness. If you're a teenager that want to hibernate from your parents, soon as you go in, dads wouldn't have a conversation. Moms wouldn't have a conversation. Oh no, not you. You want to go to your bedroom and lock your door. You want to go sit on the couch and open up your iPad. You want to be able to get immediately into playing games, and there's no communication with you and your parent. Can I tell you, I'm assuming that unless something else is drastically wrong, it's probably because of bitterness. Here you'll see that it removes some rights. You think about Jonah. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" Sometimes that which is bitterness is misplaced. You're bitter towards your parents and it shows up in the school. You're bitter towards your friend and it shows up in church. You're bitter towards a church member and it shows up in your home. See, most of the time when somebody's bitter, they can't control where they're pointing it to. All they know is, I don't feel right, things aren't going right, so it must be everybody's fault. The Bible says, and he said, I do well to be angry, this is Jonah, even unto death. He said, look, I've got a right to be angry. And I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word tonight, you have no right to be angry. You have no right to be bitter. You ought to take it to the cross and leave it there. I'm saying statement number one, there's the contamination of bitterness. Statement number two, there's the cause of bitterness. Statement number three, let's look at it. There's the characteristics of bitterness. What does a bitter person do? If I was to give a description, and by the way, since you don't think this is going to be wellsology tonight, let me use Bible verses to show you that these is what God says about a bitter person. Statement number one, they always remember details. They always remember details. Their memory is sort of like somebody preparing to go to face a trial, and they're the lawyer, and so they remember, and they play it over in their mind over and over and over and over again. Along with that, if you will, in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, the Bible says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife, it says, in your hearts glory not, it says, and lie not against the truth. So what are they doing? They're playing it over and over again. Something else, bitterness accuses others and excuses their self. Normally, somebody that's wrestling with bitterness, they don't see that they've done anything wrong. But they can sure point out, especially about that person, that institution, that event, and they're always pointing out why that is wrong. That's a person that's wrestling with bitterness. James chapter 3 and verse 15 and on, the Bible says, let wisdom, it says, descendeth not, it says, from above. This is describing that person, but is earthly, it says, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, it says, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But it says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, listen to it now, then peaceable, listen to it now, gentle, listen to it now, easily to be entreated, listen to it, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And verse 18 it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. So my Bible says, if you're going about trying to make peace, guess what? As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you're sowing peace, it's going to come again. If you're sowing discord, it's going to come again. If you're sowing unforgiveness, you're going to feel like you have no forgiveness on the inside until you learn to forgive people that you're bitter against. Can I tell you, on the inside, you're not going to feel the complete peace of God. Amen. I'm saying tonight that bitterness lives alone. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So bitterness lives a lonely life. Why? Because you don't have the companion of God the Father. You stand all by yourself. My physical father, my dad, my earthly daddy, was not a perfect man. And he did not have a perfect son. But as he received Christ and God began to work in his heart, my, did we try harder to develop a good relationship. Where did it start, preacher? The day that he became born again. Amen. He didn't know his Bible. He would not have known the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit came up and shook him by the hand and patted him on the head. He had no Bible knowledge whatsoever, and I had very little above that. Now, can I tell you, but my dear dad knew what was right, and he knew that he'd been walking separate from the family, and during the last few years of his life, he tried to make up the hedge. Here's what I find out. A person that has a close relationship with Jesus Christ desires to have a close relationship with other Christians. By the way, and when you have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, it's easy to forgive people because you already forgave them. There's nothing anybody could do against you that would cause you to have hatred towards them because you already forgave them. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, dig your wells deep while you're young, so that when you become old, you can draw from them. By the way, can I help you out? Here's something that'll shock you. Humans will only be humans at best. I think what we do is we try and put certain humans up here. Well, they should never do that because after all, look who they are. Yeah, I know who they are. Sinner saved by grace. That's all they are. They put clothes on the same way you put clothes on. They have struggles just like you have struggles. Well, I tell you what, I think they ought to live up to this high idea of living. Well, you don't. Why can't we give other people as much grace as God gives us? Isn't it funny? We want it all. Give it to me, God. Give it to me, God. Give it to me, God. Give it to me. But yet we don't want to give it to others. How about practicing this? By the same measure God forgave you, you forgive others. By the same measure God gives you grace, you give somebody else grace. Bitterness lives alone. The other person ceases to be, if you will please, that which is somebody they view as a Christian. They're just now the enemy. Wouldn't you hate to carry baggage around? I pity people that go through the airports. And years ago I purchased a Samsonite computer bag, and it's wide, and I can put lots of other items in there, and sometimes I have an extra carry-on. I put it on top of the computer bag and I just pull along, just having a good time. And I see people always through the airports, and they got this heavy bag here and heavy bag here, heavy backpack on, and they're walking as fast as they can through the airport. And I'm thinking, I feel sorry for you. But they chose to carry the weight. And the reason that people do not forgive, the reason people get bitter, is because they choose to carry the weight. Bitterness refuses to be reconciled. Reconciled to who, preacher? Well, first, you have to reconcile yourself to God. Because if you're bitter towards someone else, you can't be right with God. So you get with God and say, God, please help me. I'm relying on your grace. Help me, please. And you go to God. Bitterness is the wall that keeps you from answered prayer. Bitterness is the wall that keeps you from having a happy life. Bitterness is the wall that keeps you from being fulfilled. In your heart, you're always thinking about that person. That person wronged me. That event hurt me. That procedure damaged me. And I'm just as bitter as I can be about that. And you are letting it hold you in captivity. Bitterness reveals itself. James chapter 3 in verse 11 says, doth a fountain send forth, it says, at the same time, sweet water and bitter? You take a cup of sweet juice, and every time you pour it out, it's going to pour out sweet. I've said this, if you squeeze a person, what is in them, reality, will come out of them. You squeeze a bitter person, they get angry every time. You squeeze a self-centered person, and it's all about me, and I'm protecting me. I'm protecting me. I can't trust anyone. I'm just protecting me. That shows who they are. You squeeze somebody that is an unforgiving person, and they give unforgiveness all the time about the person that hurt them, to their children, to their spouses, always never forgiving, simply because they never came to God and got the victory of forgiveness. Statement number one, there's the contamination of bitterness. Statement number two, the cause of bitterness. Statement number three, the characteristics of bitterness. Statement number four, there's the casualties of bitterness. Watch this, and I'll hurry. Bitterness blinds. Listen to it. James chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, but if ye have bitter envy, the Bible says, and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. What's it do? It blinds. Most people that are struggling with bitterness, they can't see it. Now, by the way, listen to me. Everybody else can see it. They can't see it. Everybody else can hear it, but they can't hear it. Everybody else can testify of it, but they can't testify of it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "He that hateth his brother is in darkness, He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth." He can't see, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So here's a person's in bitterness, and they're just feeling their way around. They just can't see. What's it do? It blinds them. Statement number next, it binds them. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For I perceive that thou art," it says, "thou art in the gall of bitterness and bound," it says, "of iniquity." So what's it do? It binds them. So bitterness is like a chain that I would have Josh stand up, and I would put that chain around him, and then I tighten that chain, and now it's tight right there, and he's not going to go anywhere. He can't get loose, simply because he can't cut the chains by himself. He's got to have somebody to come up, take a torch, somebody to come up, take a cutter, somebody to come up, unwrap it, and that's why you need God. Amen. Statement number next, bitterness bristles. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded," listen to it, "spirit, who can bear?" You ever see a teenager say, "Well, I tell you what, I don't agree with that." The wise parent is going to say, "Okay, I love you. Let's be mature about it. Give it to God, get over it, and walk on." Unwise parent, "I don't agree with that either. It bothers me just like it bothers you. It must not be right." You know what you're doing? You are foolishly feeding a fire inside of the heart of your teenager, and what's going to happen is it's going to continue to burn in him or her while you're sound asleep in your bed. By the way, can I help you out about Parkside Baptist Church? It is not a perfect place. It's not. The pastor's going to make mistakes. The staff's going to make mistakes. Whoa, you're going to make mistakes. You say, "I tell you, I joined Parkside Baptist Church because I thought it was a perfect place." And when you did, you ruined it. I'm serious, I worry about adults. It's always walking around like, "I got it all. I know. I can handle this. I got it." You got what? I'll tell you what you got. You got a foot that's about ready to fall. That's what you got. If I was a parent, I wouldn't be pointing my kids to me. I'd be pointing my kids to God. And every single time, God forgives. God restores. Somebody came to me the other day and said, "I don't understand it, Pastor. Why do you restore so many people?" That was their question. "Why do you restore so many people?" Here was my answer: God. I said, "Go chew on that a while. When you come up for air, come back and see me and tell me what you think." You know, God restores his children. By the way, if this was not a restoring church, I think it'd be pretty well empty tonight. Hello. I'm saying this tonight as I stick to my notes and not try to chase too many rabbit trails. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." Says, "Their contentions are like," listen to it now, "are like the bars of a castle." And so here's a person that has bitterness, and they're hard. I mean, they're just hard. You know, these are the type of people that when somebody's up here leading singing, all they do is just stare. Now, by the way, that hardness is not towards the music director. It's hardness towards the one that we're singing about. You're telling off on yourself. The reason that you're hard and the reason that you're bitter is because your primary problem is not with man, it's with God. Amen. Here's what the Bible teaches. It bristles. Statement number next, bitterness blurts. blurts. Say, what do you mean, preacher? The Bible says in Job chapter 7 and verse 11, therefore it says, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. It blurts. A bitter person, listen to me, will always tell what they disagree with. Always. And they will try to say, I disagree with it because of this, because of this, because of this. How many times, my dear beloved friend, does God disagree with you? Yet he still loves you for who you are. I am so glad that you are not God. Amen. Listen to it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Says, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Romans chapter 3 and verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Here's what I find out goes hand in hand, as you saw right there in that scripture. A bitter person normally has cursings in their life. I didn't say cursing on their life, cursing in their life. They may not say the curse word out loud, but they say it underneath the tone of their voice. They do. So how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible just said. Listen to it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, from you with all malice, and be kind, says one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I could go into a list of things that when I was coming up as a child that I think was absolutely horribly wrong. I'm talking about in my life. But years ago, I understood what forgiveness truly was. And I broke free. Now I can smile. Now I have no chains around my heart. Now I have no restraints on my life. Bitterness also blossoms and bleeds. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled. So what happens is it blossoms and then it bleeds. Bitterness builds. Bitterness builds. Then I'm going to show you how to get to cure. Bitterness builds. The Bible says in Ruth 1 and verse 20, the Bible talks about not to call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Bitterness butchers. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, the Bible says, he that being often reproved, listen to it now, listen to it now, listen to it now. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed. Listen, shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Watch this. Okay, you're my boy, Stan. So I'm dad. I come up and say, you did that wrong. Now get it right and do it right forever. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Love you. Let's pray. Okay. Next day, I come back. He's done the same thing over again. Now when I come up to him to tell him that he's done wrong, he gets mad. Ready? You don't need that. You're mad. Ready? Here we go. Let me tell you something. I love you, but what you did was wrong.
I don't care.
No, 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 wait. You need to care.
It's my life.
I know it's your life, but I'm dad, and I love you, and I care about you. And I want to try and help you. Now, here's what's happening. He is hardening his heart, and it's coming out. Here's what God says about a young person like that. They're going to be destroyed without remedy. There's going to be a day when you shut your parents off over and over and over again where God says, okay, you're not allowing the authority in your life that I put there to help you. Therefore, I'll take over. And when God takes over, you're going to be in a sorry state. Wait a minute, watch this. Here it is. Thank you. Look at this. James chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here's teenagers like that little puppy dog in the backyard. I want out. I want out. Too many rules. Too many regulations. Sound more like a duck. Then all of a sudden he gets out, can't handle the world. That's why he drops his standards. That's why he drops his convictions. That's why he acts like the world, talks like the world, dresses like the world, does the things of the world. The little puppy dog was just destroyed. Don't be in a hurry to get out from your ways of protection when you're not ready for it. Got saved, testimony. Got saved, started growing. I would dare say that my past could probably challenge anybody's past that's in this room. Got saved, said I'm going to grow. Temptation's coming. Nope, not interested. I'm going this way. Now, that's by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. If a Mike Wells could do something like that, who's not very important at all, then you could do something like that. Because we're both fearfully and wonderfully made. Here it is. I'm done. What's the cure for bitterness? Cure for bitterness. I said contamination, cause, characteristics, casualties. What's the cure? Statement number one, receive the grace of God. Amen. You know why I enjoy doing what I'm doing? I'm going to tell you why. Because I've experienced the grace of God. Amen. I like it. Amen. I like helping people. I like picking up people that's been damaged and showing them how much God really loves them. Amen. I like helping people to get restored. I like helping people to go to the next level in their Christian life because I realize where I came from. Hello. I'm not a Texan by birth. I'm a Marylandite. I'm from Maryland. That's right, Jonah, nod your head. Jonah's from Maryland too, and he can't help it. So God transplanted me to Texas. I gave up wearing cowboy boots when I went to college and I laid down my rope. When I worked the rodeo, I knew how to rope. You know how many years it's been since I touched a rope? I'd probably wind up hanging myself. When I went to Bible college, I had snakeskin boots on, pair of blue jeans, flannel shirt, cowboy hat, walked in, said, I'm here to get in. They said, you don't belong here. No. I said, I'm here to get in. They said, follow them. They put me in the car. They carried me down to a rescue mission. They said, get out. I said, I'm not getting out. I don't belong here. You take me back to that college. They said, get out. I said, I'm not getting out. Hey, you're going to take me back to that college. They didn't know what to do. They thought for sure I was going to say, okay, I'll get out. I said, I'm not getting out. You turn the car around, you point it back the direction you came from, and you get me back to that college. They looked at me like, you're kidding. So what did they do? Obeyed. They took me back to the college. I walked up to the administrator, to the, what do you call it, admissions desk. And they said, but we sent you to the place you belong. I said, I belong right here. They looked at me like, yeah, right. I said, I'm here to get in Bible college. This is it, right? They said, yeah, this is it. I said, I'm here to get in Bible college. They said, you got to go down to get a haircut. I had hair, it was over my ears, way down. They said, you need to go get a you need to get, I forget what they call it, but anyway, you need to get a haircut to be able to come into being able to start to pay for your college. So I said, okay. So I went down there, and I said, I'm going to that college right down the street. They told me I need to get a haircut. Have at it. Boy, did they have at it. I looked like I was joining the Marines. I came out for the first time in my life. I saw that it had a complete ear, one on each side. I felt like, you know, that cartoon character that had big ears and you could fly. What was that called? Okay. I thought I could take off. I went back to the administrative desk and I said, okay, done. Now I'm here to get in. They said, how much money are you going to put down? I said, I don't have money. Then I said something that shocked them. I can't believe it shocked them. They said, how are you going to pay? I said, God. They said, what do you mean God? I said, this is Bible college. I rode on a Trailway bus 26 hours to get here. If you think I'm going to turn around and go back, you're crazy. I said, I came to get in. I got $35 in my pocket. Now less than that because I got a haircut that you wanted me to get. I said, I'm determined. I'm getting in. Hello? They didn't know what to do with me, so they let me in. Now, can I tell you this? Here's what we understand. We understand that you need to be able to receive the grace of God to be able to go forward in your life, or you never will be able to go forward. The Bible says in Hebrews, let me give it to you, and I've got to finish it up. There's the cure to bitterness. What do? You receive the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled. Now watch what it says. Fail of the grace of God. That means if you don't forgive somebody, you have failed. Let it sink in. If you don't forgive somebody, you have failed to use the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace, there it is, to help in time of need. God's got all the grace you need for everything you need to go through. So what do? Number one, you receive the grace of God. Number two, here it is, you take ownership. Bitterness must be owned independently of others. Well, let me tell you why I'm bitter towards so-and-so. You know what you've done? Here's what you've done. It has now defiled others. Yeah. See, before you open your mouth, they thought that person was neat, kind. They thought that person was a good Christian. Now you're causing that person to become their stumbling block. Take ownership. We try to hide bitterness by saying this, I'm just easily hurt. I'm just easily hurt. Yeah, people use it all the time. I'll forgive him. You ready? I'll forgive him when he's truly sorry. No, God's commanded you to forgive them. Doesn't matter if they're sorry or not. You've got to do your part. That person's not having trouble with bitterness. You are. And until you do your part, you'll never have peace. If you don't forgive, it makes you both the judge and the jury, and you decide what type of justice you're going to disperse. Yet God says he needs to be the one completely in charge. So what do? Receive the grace of God. What do? Take ownership. Here it is. What do? Release both the offense and the offender. And I'm done. Release both the offense and the offender. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. The Bible says, listen to it now, who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. God has the power to heal all. Over in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, now I'll read you one more collection of verses, I'm done. Says this, says, we all like sheep have gone astray, turning every one to his own way. Okay, watch. Come up and offend me somehow, I don't care. Don't hit me though.
Did they not have a suit in your size?
Go again.
You got some suspenders, those would stay up.
Go again.
I heard you're on a diet. When did you quit?
That was good. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, okay? I can let that stuff go deep.
Sure.
Or I can say, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. Though I'm going to split his tires tonight. That don't bother me. Here's the problem. You let other people that offend you go deep. And then you keep it, and you keep it, and you keep it. You sleep with it. You eat with it. You drink with it. You go to work with it. And all it is on the inside, you got the problem. If you can't speak well of all men, I would like to know why. If you can't pray for the brethren, I'd like to know why. When you come up with this thing, well, they just bother me. That's a pretty good cover-up. But there's a reason they bother you. Thank you. Be seated. Listen to it. Matthew chapter... Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, here's what it says. The Bible says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, stay with it now, I'm almost done. Don't lose this one. Don't lose this one. You ready? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. One thing I can say in my life right now, testifying as your pastor, I'm right with man and I'm right with God. And I have perfect liberty within. Now, if you can't say that, you got some business to take care of. Here's what it says, verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, now this is heavy, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So who's coming to your mind? Who is it tonight that you could put a face on that? I remember the day when such and such did this to me. And if I could get even, I would. Who's that? I remember the time when mom and dad, they didn't do what they should have done. And if I ever become a mom and dad, I'll... What'd they do? Well, I remember my wife. She should have never said that. I've never gotten over it. Really. Well, I remember that person used to be my friend. But I never forget what they did that day. Really? Who comes to your mind? Father, help us tonight, I pray, as we take inventory.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.